On today's Locked On Thunder podcast, we're going to dive into the game against the Houston Rockets, the rotation that we might see tonight, Josh Giddey's ball handling minutes, Darius Bazley, the small ball defense, and what the keys of the game will be tonight as the Thunder take on the Houston Rockets and continue their 2021-22 regular season. All of that and more right here on Locked On Thunder on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's get it going on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. I am your host and editor-in-chief over at thunderousintentions.com, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland underscore Styles. It's at R-Y-L-A-N underscore S-T-I-L-A-S. You can follow the show on Twitter at LO Thunderpod. Email the show, LO Thunderpod, gmail.com. Call in the show, 405-362-7128. On today's show, brought to you by McDonald's, we're going to dive into a Houston Rockets preview, go over the rotations, the small ball defense, Josh Giddey, Darius Bazley, SGA, and talk about the keys to the game for the Thunder, and also give you our bet of the day and our Thunder Moneyball pick, all of that and more coming up on today's Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast about the Oklahoma City Thunder on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. Thank you for making Locked On Thunder your daily listen, your first listen every single day in your rotation, and just there for you every single day here on Locked On Thunder. My voice does not always sound like this. I'm very sick, but every day we're here no matter what. So the podcast was delayed a bit today, coming out in the afternoon, but we'll talk about the Houston game. We'll be back to recap the Houston game and also talk about the 76ers game, all that and more, of course, every single day we're here on Locked On Thunder. So, with that being said, on today's edition, brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's is incredible. It is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to eat tasty, affordable food. It's the unofficial community center for your community. A big thank you to our friends over at McDonald's for being there for us this entire time. I'm loving it. We are going to talk now about the Houston Rockets game. So the Thunder still have no injuries. The Thunder are injury-free, very healthy. Everything's good to go. We'll talk to Mark at 5 to confirm that, but the Thunder have not released an injury report with anything new. It's just been clean as a whistle. So they are ready to go and at full strength. Now, the Rockets, pretty much at full strength, right? You remember that they sent home John Wall, so he's obviously out. But also, Garrison Matthews is out for the Rockets as well. Doesn't really register in this game, right? Doesn't really matter that Garrison Matthews is out. So for all intents and purposes, Houston is at full strength. This, of course, is game two of the season in Houston. Tip-off time set for 7 p.m. The last game starters for Oklahoma City, SGA, Dort, Giddey, Bazley, Favors. The only thing that can change there for the Thunder would be the center spot. Derek Favors started the last game because of his stability and his ties to Utah, playing the majority of his 13-year career there in Utah. So Mark did start him in that game, openly admitting a lot of that decision was based on the fact that it was a homecoming and that the environment meant so much to Derek Favors to start in that game. Will he start tonight? I would still start Derek Favors tonight, but this is a matchup when you're playing Daniel Tice where you can afford to go small as the Thunder want to do. You can start Isaiah Roby. Heck, you could start Jeremiah Robinson-Earl. So we'll see what the Thunder do there at that center spot. I'd still go Favors, but that's not a lock right now. Last night, or the last game Houston played was on Wednesday. Houston started Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., Jason Tate, Christian Wood, and Daniel Tice. The official Rockets team issued game notes has those same probable starters for this game. So it looks like it'll be Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., Jason Tate, Christian Wood, and Daniel Tice starting this game. Of course, the big storyline tonight will be Anfernee Shingun playing against the Thunder, who traded him away at the draft day just a month ago, or however long the draft was now, 2 months ago now. Look, it doesn't really matter, but it is a fun thing to watch. It's a fun thing to follow along with, right? Like if he has a great game today or a bad game today, it doesn't really define the trade. But of course, the reactions on each side will be over the top. It's still early in the year, so we're still in that mood to overreact. And then also, again, one game will not define his career, good or bad, but still worth noting because a lot of you were in love with Shingun before the draft, and a lot of you were upset when they traded him away. So you'll get to watch him play in the NBA. After his really good summer league, had a nice debut against Minnesota. We'll see who he does against Oklahoma City. This, of course, wraps up a two-game road stint. The Thunder will have their home opener on Sunday against Philadelphia. What to watch for? Small ball defense. This will be a theme all year long. This will be something that you have to keep a close eye on for the rest of time if the Thunder have it their way and they play this style of basketball for a long time. But the small ball defense was interesting against Utah. To me, and by no means am I a basketball savant, but to me, it seemed like the Thunder should commit to the three-point line because there was a lot of times where it just looked as though they're not doing anything, which we know isn't true. We know these guys are hardworking, athletic, and they're trying their best to defend the basketball. So it's obvious that they're doing nothing, but that's what it looks like whenever you have a small ball lineup. And this is what we talked about all preseason long. And you got to see it on full display against Utah. When you go back and watch that game and really break it down. You got to see it on full display. All preseason long, offseason long, I've been talking to you guys about the rotations and how if you want to play small, that forces you to be perfect. It forces you to where you cannot afford a single mistake because you already have one glaring disadvantage, and that's at the rim. You cannot have another glaring disadvantage, and that's not rotating to threes and leaving one open guys in the corner. So it forces you to be perfect, and we knew young teams do not defend well. Young teams and young players do not grow into themselves defensively for a lot. It's harder to catch up for them defensively than offensively. So it'll take a while. It'll take years for some of these players to get to the peak of their defense, no matter if that's an average defender or below average defender or a great defender. Most of the time, it'll take years for you to get to that point. It's very rare you find a player like Lu Dort who can be an elite defender from the word go. So you have a young team who's already going to struggle defensively. Now you have a young team who struggles defensively and has a scheme where they need to be perfect. That's not a recipe for success. And you saw against Utah, they gave up a ton of open shots. I mean, there's a ton of open shots there. It seemed like to me, when you have this style, you should just commit to shutting down the three. Because even if you are perfect with your rotations and you are perfect on your assignments, the glaring hole is still there at the rim. So let the glaring hole be there, and then let's not get beat on the perimeter, is how I would view it as if I was on that locker room, if I was the coach. Now, that could be the wrong way. I'm not saying that I'm totally right here. That's just the way that I'm thinking it out loud. But whenever you're playing small, the Thunder are clearly helping off the corners to try to counteract that, right? Mostly with Darius Bazley, who does a phenomenal job at this. You know, Darius Bazley will come off the weak side corner and help out the big. Bazley, though, is lengthy and athletic and fast to where whenever he helps off, he's able to get back to that corner. He's able to shoot back there and contest the shot or even steal the pass. There's been many occasions where Bazley has baited a pass to the corner and Bazley's either deflected the pass or stole the pass outright. So Bazley's really good at this. The problem is there's not very many Darius Bazleys on this team who can play defense that way, who have the frame to play that way, you know, and the athletic ability to play that way. So helping off the corner will be challenging for most players on this team not named Darius Bazley. So I just think that you should commit to the three-point line and at least commit to shutting down something. And if they beat you from inside, well, you're hoping that you can shoot more threes and make more threes because threes are better than two. Another thing, it just comes with the fact of how young this team is. This team's very young. And it seemed like they didn't understand what to do. And again, it's very hard to break down defenses. Let me start with that, saying this. Whenever you don't know for sure what the assignments were. You don't know for sure who's supposed to do what. You're just kind of guessing. But it looked like there was times, specifically with SGA and Giddey on one play, where, you know, one guy, in this case Shea, switched, and then Giddey didn't switch. And so there's moments like that throughout this game and throughout the preseason where it seems like they're not on the same page of, okay, are we switching everything, or are we going to fight over the screen? Are we going to fight back to our man? What's the game plan here in terms of switching? So getting that on track, too, will be a big thing to watch for moving forward. But this is what you expect. But you really can have a bad paint presence and then also give up one of them threes. It's not a great recipe for success. Coming up, though, we'll talk about Darius Bazley. We'll talk about Darius Bazley and Josh Giddey and the rotations and Josh Giddey and SGA. And also the keys to the game. The keys to the game on how to win this game for Oklahoma City. But first, I want to say right now, my good friends over at McDonald's. This episode is brought to you by McDonald's. It's proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been there for you, and it's more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come and reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a steady group, knowing that they're going to have dependable Wi-Fi, endless supplies of French fries, and also McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, and the home team or away team can come and recharge. It's a place you always look forward to stopping on a long road trip to rest your legs and to refuel. We all have great memories and stories from McDonald's. It's no surprise. You remember going there after Little League games. You remember stopping there right before big sporting events. And simply just connecting to their great Wi-Fi and having an outlet there for you to use whenever maybe your Wi-Fi goes down or something of that effect. Everyone loves McDonald's. I love McDonald's. I love the breakfast there at McDonald's. Go ahead and get you some of that at McDonald's. So, head to your local McDonald's and refuel and recharge today. And we might even have a Locked On Thunder watch party at a local McDonald's pretty soon. I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. We're back on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. I am your host, Rylan Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Rylan_Styles. It's at RYLAN_STILES. You can follow the show on Twitter at LO Thunderpod. Email the show, LOThunderpod@gmail.com. Call into the show, 405-362-7128. Now, let's get into what to watch for tonight beyond just that small ball unit. So, one specific player I'm looking for is Darius Bazley. You know the amount of emphasis I've put on the season for Darius Bazley, just from the outside looking in and the feeling that you get from around the organization about the pressure on Darius Bazley. And in game one, he was awesome. And I hate to keep saying it this way, but he was way better than the box score showed. We went over every shot he took last episode. And you take away those end of the shot clock heaves. That's two less shots of his, overall chart, which is of course going to inflate your percentages. And then he had two shots where you want to have him back, right? The step back three was not great, and then especially the step back mid range shot that he airballed, fading away from the basket. You don't want him shooting those two shots. So in totality, four shots where he either shouldn't have shot them, was forced to shoot them, and wasn't really in a shot attempt at all. You live with that, with how aggressive he was being, with how just overall much of a better player he was playing. So I like what we saw from Darius Bazley. Now, the key for Bazley is consistency. Can he string together 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games where we're walking away saying, wow, Bazley was good tonight? Or we have one game where he's like, oh, he was pretty good one game, and then not there that night. Oh, he was really good this night. Bit of a step back for Bazley. Where is he going to level off at, and how consistent can he be will be a big deal in his career and in defining the season for him. So want to see him string those things together. One thing that I like to hear from Mark after the game was he talked about Darius Bazley, and he talked about how in game one of the season, you could really tell that he had a quicker recharge than last year, where he didn't let plays linger. So a shorter memory, so to say. He didn't let one bad play spiral as much as he would have last year. That's a sheer sign of improvement, and that is a great thing to develop, especially with his skill set, where you're going to be asked to shoot threes. Now, that's not going to be your primary skill, and you're going to miss some. You're hoping he's a 34, 5, 6% shooter from three. So he's going to miss a ton. He's going to be average. But you don't want those misses to define him moving forward. You don't want those misses to take away from his confidence at driving at the rim. Because whenever he puts his head down and goes downhill, not a ton of players can stop him. He's really good whenever he does that. So I also want to talk about, of course, Josh Giddey. A lot will be made of Josh Giddey and his ball handling minutes tonight. A lot was made last game, like I predicted, about his ball handling minutes. Again, two schools of thought here. What I would do and what I assume they're actually doing. What I would do is what Twitter wants to do, right? I want to see Giddey ball handle. I want to see Giddey lead that second unit. I think that to maximize this team and to win games, that's one of the only formulas you have to win games is by staggering SGA and Giddey and letting them each handle the ball almost exclusively the entire time, where they're always on the floor. When you're staggering those two guys the way that Houston has done with their guards, whenever they had Chris Paul and Harden, whenever they had Russ and Harden, I think that that's kind of the way and the only way to get an advantage for this offense consistently. But also, it seems as though the Thunder are prioritizing just letting Giddey play in this new role, because Giddey has never played with another lead ball handler before. He's never played with another guard before. And they kind of know this guy can lead an offense. This guy can play make. This guy can do what we want him to do offensively. Let's see how he reacts in this new setting. Well, let's see how he can do off ball, where he'll primarily be playing off ball when this thing pans out and when this thing turns around, whenever we want to actually compete. So even though he's on the floor at Tatum Melbourne and ISGA, let's still keep him in that role where he's only bringing the ball to the floor 33% of the time, or whatever the percentage ends up being. Again, I can see both sides of it. I have my thoughts on what I would do if I was running the team, but I can also see what the Thunder seem to be doing with the way that they're running the team right now. And look, it could also flip tonight where we do get to see Giddey handle the ball the entire time he's on the floor with that bench unit. Nothing's set in stone yet. So watching how that develops will be part of the fun of this season. So we'll see where it goes there from Giddey. Also want to see SGA just kind of have a great game, an explosive game. It wasn't there for him opening night. It really has not been there for him this preseason, really. Hasn't been bad, but hasn't had that jaw-dropping moment. Hasn't had that incredible game. And this is a prime game where he can be incredible. That Houston defense did not look good against Minnesota. I think that SGA can kind of get that confidence back, that swagger back. And he talked after the game Wednesday about conditioning again. And I think that we don't really give enough credence to that, about how SGA is coming off of a foot injury, which obviously means he spent a large chunk of time not being able to truly go full force or truly work out or truly do what he needs to do to get back into actual basketball shape. Then he had the summer off season where he's practicing and has these great Instagram videos, but you can't truly simulate NBA speed. There's no way to do it without playing NBA games. And then he's played in three preseason games and then one regular season game. And those three preseason games, how full speed are you going? So really, Wednesday was like the first full on speed game that he went. So he talked about how he was tired after the game. He was very tired, and how you factor in also they played one of the best teams in the NBA. I mean, the Jazz, for their playoff failing, whatever, they're one of the best teams in the NBA in these 82-game stretches. So you give him a pass for that, obviously, and let's see if he's kind of more into his groove now. Let's see if he's kind of more into his rhythm. I think that a lot of times we forget this is not a video game. Like, this is not something where you need a notification on 2K, hey, Shea's fully healthy, and you plug him in there for 30 minutes, and he just goes off and continues on the projected path. It's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that kind of easy. So we'll see how he progresses tonight and how he does against Houston. Now, talk about Shea, talk about Giddey, talk about Bazley and the small ball defense. The other big thing to watch for tonight before getting to the keys to the game and the bet of the game and the Thunder Moneyball pick of the game will simply be the rotations. Who will play for the Thunder tonight? How will they manage minutes tonight? How will they dictate the lineups tonight? They played 13 different lineups on Wednesday. Mark has said flatly the difference between guy number 5 and guy number 17 on this roster is slim. And that creates for a fun roster where we could all pick our guys and pick our sides of, well, I think Jerry's the best. I think Isaiah Roby's the best. I think that they should start Ty Jerome. And we could all pick our guys of who we personally think should be playing more. And it creates this environment of, I want to watch every minute because I want to see what this guy does or that guy does. Every player on this roster is an interesting talent to kind of scope out. And so for Mark, though, it's fun for us to watch, but for Mark, he has to figure out how to balance this kind of play them all together and get them kind of enough run and enough looks and enough development, especially right now, these first couple of weeks of the G League, whenever you can't send guys to the G League to get run and to get minutes and to get opportunity. So we'll talk about the rotations coming up. But first, I'll tell you right now, our good friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. They have coconut, cherry raspberry, cherry barcia, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor is cookies and cream. If you don't believe me, that's okay. You can go and order stuff from Mixbox. The Mixbox will give you two of every flavor. You get two of each flavor, and you can try them all out and then reorder the flavor you love the most, or just simply reorder the mixed box. It's great to do. Most Built Bars have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, amazing flavor, all tasty, all healthy. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15, 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Make sure you check out Built Bar because it's the official protein bar of the U.S. Track and Field team. It's incredible. It's a protein bar, but it tastes just like a candy bar. We are back on Locked On Thunder Podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. I'm your host, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland_Styles. And also, thank you for making us your first listen. Subscribe for free on all platforms, including on YouTube. And we'll be here for you every single day talking Thunder basketball. Keys to the game. This is a very winnable game for the Thunder. They're playing a team that's pretty much on par with them, a team that did not play well in their opener either. So each team trying to bounce back from that opening loss and that opening just decimation. Keys of the game: if the Thunder limit the turnovers and win the rebounding battle, I'm not sure what they're going to lose, especially if they make their threes, which Houston did not play well from beyond, you know, defending the arc in their opener. Minnesota nailed 16 threes in the season opener against Houston, and to the tune of like a 42% clip from beyond the arc. Very, very good game for Minnesota from three. Hopefully the Thunder can have the same success. And then, of course, don't turn the ball over and rebound the ball a lot better than Houston. And they should win this game. The bet of the day for me is Oklahoma City +2.5. And then the money well pick, which will be who leads the team in three-pointers made. I'll pick SGA to have a great game today from beyond the arc and a great game in general for SGA and the Thunder. So the money well pick, you can also tweet them at me at Ryland_Styles or email, if you're on Twitter, LOThunderPod@gmail.com. You can tweet me who you think will lead the team in three-pointers made tonight. We'll keep track of it all year long. Whoever can beat me will win a prize and finish number one overall in the rankings. They'll win a prize. My pick again is SGA tonight to lead the team in three-pointers made. Thank you all for listening to Locked On Thunder. I do not always sound like this. Very sick today. Very not feeling well. And you could probably hear that again yesterday as well. But we're here for you every single day, talking Thunder. I'll try to have a post-game pod out tonight. Might be delayed a bit depending on the voice situation, but you will have a recap of Houston, and you'll have a recap of the Sixers. We'll have a whole new week of shows next week as well. So make sure you subscribe for free on all platforms. Until next time, be good and be good to one another.